everybody. The Heroes Asylum, issue 113. I am Kane. I'm hosting this damn show. I'm taking the whole thing over. Wait. I'm not taking it over, am I? Somebody's... Ladies and gentlemen, returning.
How's everybody doing?
Welcome back, sir. Glad to see you back again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hiatus. I didn't tell the fans about what you had, but I kind of figured they would figure it out on your Facebook page and stuff. So
yeah, if nobody knows, nobody's on my Facebook page or any of my other social media. I caught the COVID, and I was out for a little bit. So, but I am back. And better than ever. So,
yeah, looks good. Good to see you back, buddy. Glad that we missed you. I was holding the hosting chair warm, nice and warm for me. But you got it back now. It's all sanitized and clean.
And yeah, yeah. And thank you, by the way, to Mr. Hotshot Veal, who has definitely stepped up. I know we're all part of the Heroes Asylum Network, so we're all a big family, anyways. And but he definitely stepped up, and I thought he did a great job. I mean, I know. He's not known really, you know, for me. I don't know how much he knows about comic books and things like that, but he had so much to say about the Falcon and Winter Soldier. I thought you guys had a great in-depth conversation last week about it.
If you guys haven't checked that out, it's issue 112, check it out in the archives. But we went into a deep, almost philosophical talk about the scenes of episode 6, because episode 6 was so powerful that I think it needs to be reset. Like, we were just talking about our favorite scenes, and it's funny how our scenes differed. Like, his scene was more of the, was the Falcon when he becomes Captain America, basically talking to the police department the first time he has the shield and everything else, saying, "Hey, look, I'm a black guy wearing the stars and the stripes. Of course, you're going to feel a little bit different. Of course, you're going to feel a little awkward." But he's basically calling out the politicians, saying, "Hey, I don't have the power. You guys have the power to change everything." And I thought the scene that trumped that to me was the Isaiah Bradley scene, when he basically walks in the memorial. Sam takes him and his grandson, and he doesn't say anything. So I want to show you something. Walks over, walks past the Cap monument and everything else into his own little section. And he doesn't say a word. Like, it's funny. Like, we always talked about scenes that have no dialogue or anything. That was one where he just looked and he saw the monument and he just broke down. I broke down when I saw that. Because that was a powerful scene. I was like, damn.
Well, after I got done watching the final episode, I actually went back and I rewatched just the Cap movies. Minus Civil War, obviously. But I watched, the first Captain America. Then I watched Winter Soldier that rolled into that, and I just rewatching those together, and then like the message at the very end of it, just like it says everything. Yeah. But yeah, no, you guys covered everything. I don't think I need to say anything about it. You guys really hit home with it, so
we appreciate that. So I guess business as usual. So
we're gonna start off, unfortunately, a little sad note, especially for. Kane and myself were kind of he's a massive fan, but this artist really had a big impact. Was a John Paul Leon, legendary Batman, X-Man, and Static artist, passed away at age 49. No news on what happened, but the reason I love him from Batman is, do you remember Batman Creature of the Night?
Yes,
he's the artist from that.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I thought that was a Jim Lee thing.
No. Yeah. That was him. Yeah. So I mean, he's gonna be missed because I mean, he made a major impact. Like I said, not only Static, Earth X, Batman, like as a Creature of the Night, and so yeah, he passed away. No word as to what happened. Still kind of, it's very new. This happened actually this morning. But of course, if anybody is familiar with things that like Kane and I have talked about for a while. The Milestone Comics universe. He was a big factor in that. Of course, being part of the Static Shock series. But
he will be missed. And it's funny, to jump on the Milestone thing. I think we've said it ad nauseum. And I think just to jump off the Cap and the Winter Soldier final, because guys, if you haven't watched it, it's Captain America and the Winter Soldier now. By the way, you've had 2 weeks. Come on, I think now is the perfect time. They should have done it before, but I think now to capitalize on everything, all this goodwill we build up with, we have a black Captain America now. This is the perfect time to throw Milestone out there. This is literally peak time.
Well, they're supposed to. I keep checking. I don't see them in the DC realm.
That's the problem. It's just like, yeah. if you want a bullet literally to shoot it to the top right now, because they call that actually music business, you need a bullet to just go up the charts. If you want a bullet right now, this is a perfect time with everything going on and social media and everything outside. This could be a cornerstone moment. Like, literally, you could bring them out right now.
Well, they started last year. At the end of last year, they started doing that. They released one issue, which was like kind of a rundown of where they've been lately. And then they were supposed to start in March with a new run. I haven't seen it. I've been checking, I've been checking my online places, and I don't see it anywhere.
It's strange.
I don't see it in the DC run, and I thought, well, maybe they're going to rehash them under the Milestone run. Nothing. They ended the Future State stuff, and then it went flat and went back to normal. We had a couple of the Future State stories continue over. I think like one of the Superman ones, the Batman one, and I think there was one other one. I can't remember.
Batman one got better. The Wonder Woman was garbage. Superman one was garbage. I'm sorry. I think I can safely say about Future State is this.
Yeah, it's and they knew that was going to be that way. I think that's that was a Dan Didio when he left last year or a year before that. Yeah, that was his big fight. It was like he didn't want to go that route, and I understood they spent the time, they spent the energy. Let's at least release it for a couple of months, give it a kind of cleanse the palate after Death Metal. It's basically kind of what they were trying to do, and then they went back. And I do know one, like I said, I think the Black Batman came back. Into the regular continuity, Superman.
That's Tim Fox. I picked up the digital versions, by the way. Thank you very much. I checked those out, and the first couple issues, it was a little we're forcing some stuff here. But then as it went on, I started liking Tim Fox, and then I started liking his relationship with Bruce, and then I started liking these, I guess they call them the Vanguard kind of type of Gates Guardians who guard Gotham now. They're like the evil police or something. And I was like, you know, this is not bad, and he's not a bad character. So I'm glad they're going to keep on with him as far as the continuity goes. He deserves a chance. The other ones, not so much, but I think him, and I'm not trying to be biased, because I hated the first couple issues.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah.
I mean, my God, I think that you go back to the archives, I said I hated it, but after, you know, reading it a little bit and understanding it, where they're coming from, because it's a little bit hard. Like, to me, Bruce Wayne is always going to be Batman. And when somebody else puts the cowl on, I have a little problem with it. And like, unless it's Dick Grayson, that's earned. Yeah. That's been earned in the Pantheon for 60 years.
Yeah.
He's earned the cape and cowl. But anybody else, like in any kind of future.
Even John Paul? You're sensitive about John Paul? Yeah, I know. That's another butt right there.
I'm not done with White Knight yet, so let me get back to you.
Glad to hear you're still reading on that one.
Yeah, I'm still on White Knight. Let me get back to you on that one.
Yeah. So, speaking of Jean-Paul Leon, of course, you know, like I said, he had just passed. So, bag of wind to him, and he will be missed. Like I said, a great, great artist and a pioneer, really, when it came to the early Milestone stuff. So, what do you got next, sir?
I got a fun one.
Oh yeah,
this one. Oh yeah. Finn Wittrock has been cast as Hal Jordan.
No. You have to say the name. Say it.
Finn cast as Guy Gardner.
That's right. Finn Wittrock.
Guy Gardner. He's Guy Gardner. Yes, Guy Gardner is going to be a live action thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I knew it was coming, but I guess, of course, to piss me off, they had to make him the first casting, and probably in the Omniverse, they heard me. They're like, Kane doesn't like Guy Gardner. And they were like, yes, so we're going to cast him first to piss him off. And guess what? They cast Guy Gardner. Yes. I don't know if Finn Wittrock is work.
American Horror Story is what I know he is known for. I have never really watched any of them. Sure we're going to get a little hate from one of our friends, Kelly, about that. But yeah, that's what I know he's known for.
So, yeah, he's Guy, but I think you have some more information.
According to this, writer Greg Berlanti, Mark Guggenheim, and Seth Graham Smith, the Green Lanterns, basically what they're doing is they're reinventing the classic DC property through spanning decades and galaxies, which I love that idea.
That's a good idea. That's, you know what, because the universe of the Green Lantern is so big.
Exactly. That's why they're calling it the Green Lantern Corps.
I like it. That's better.
So what they say is basically beginning on Earth in 1941 with the very first Green Lantern, even though he was not the very first technical Green Lantern. He was the name of Green Lantern. Secretly gay FBI agent Alan Scott, which they're twisting him a little bit on the FBI agent, which that's cool. And then we'll also be introduced now. We do know for 1984. So we're going to go kind of that 80s vibe, which is where we're going to be introduced to the cocky alpha male Guy Gardner, Whitrock, and a half alien Bree Jarrett will be on there. And they'll be joined by multitude of other Lanterns from comic books. So they're not saying we're not going to get Jordan, but he's not the focus, which I think that's great.
Which I'm fine. I'm fine with that because, you know, believe it or not, yes, I guess in comic book lore, I mean, you and I both know that, like, there's only two notable Green Lanterns are the most popular. I mean, it depends who you ask. I mean, it's either John Stewart or Hal Jordan. I mean, John Stewart more if you watch Justice League Unlimited, Hal Jordan if you read the comics. Hal Jordan wasn't an episode of Justice League. If you watch it, like, I think it was towards the end, like towards like the weird multiverse.
Well, I think they all were. I think even Kyle Rayner showed up in Justice League.
I think you're right. It might have been for an episode.
Yeah.
But like those two guys are kind of like neck and neck. So I understand why you don't want to intro those guys yet and you want to introduce everybody else. That's fine because we've always said it's the Green Lantern core. Mm-hmm. So you can have Mojo. You could have a Kilowog on there. Can you imagine if they do Mojo, dude? That's going to be freaking wild. But you can do all those Lanterns and I'm cool with it. You can do Simon Baez. You can do Jessica Cruz.
Yeah.
There's just so many
Lanterns. And I do know Jessica Cruz is one of the ones that is in the list to show up. So we're going to get everybody, I think, or at least maybe not everybody, but I think a lot of the fan favorites.
The thing about the land that you know, that the Green Lantern core series, you can hold those guys back. Mm-hmm. You can hold them back for a little while. You can bring them in like, you know, like a season finale, like, oh, John Stewart shows up. Hey guys, I got a big mission and I need your help.
Yeah.
Or Jordan, or like the season premiere. Like, how, I mean, there's a lot of ways you could twist it. So I'm not disappointed we're not seeing Hal and John yet. That's fine. I'm cool with that. Because the core is so vast. They have so many stories under that. I think you told me about the there was a Green Lantern series that came on many, many years ago. It was underrated. It was like a 3D series. Didn't like the graphics too much, but the stories were freaking incredible. Yeah. They actually did a proper version of the Monitor and the Anti-Monitor, if you ever watched.
Yeah. And the Manhunters, they did a great
Manhunter. Oh, Manhunters. You talk about a frightening villains. The Manhunters, man, like Justice League Unlimited, they were kind of goofy. And that series, they were not goofy.
Yeah, they were
not, they were frightening, like evil police cops.
I mean, and honestly, if you actually look also in the DC animated movies, there is one called the Green Lantern Corps, and it tells stories of individual, individual lanterns. You know, they cover Kilowog, they cover Mogo, they talk about the first lantern, you know, and I think that's really what this show is going to be about. And again, you know, it's Berlanti. He's pretty much hit it out of the park. And I think with that concept of covering decades and galaxies, it's going to be refreshing.
Yeah, it's a different take, and I like that. And I think the Green Lantern Corps is probably the only characters you can get away with that, mm-hmm. as far as DC Pantheon goes. I don't think you can get away with anything else like that. Not even in Marvel, because the Green Lantern is basically a symbol of justice and hope, just renewed will. Like, that's what the Green Lantern ring says, is for willpower. Basically, hey, can I get myself out of this? I can will it out. Yep. Even in that awful Green Lantern movie, the one thing that made him beat fear was his will. His will to succeed. His will is like, nah, I'm not afraid. I have the will to succeed past the fear.
Yeah.
And there was a thing that, and you can use that as a common theme every single season. If you want to focus on a different lantern every season, I'm cool with that too.
Yeah. If they do it right, it's eight seasons or 10. I think if they do a couple of episodes, there's a lot to cover. Depending on how in depth they want, especially if they ever want to delve into John. Or, you know, go with Guy. But you even going to want to introduce Sinestro as a Green Lantern at one point before he makes his, you know, his jump over. So, yeah, definitely everything.
That'll be the fun one I want to see, the Sinestro one, because everybody knows him as the yellow guy. But come on, I want to see him as the Green Lantern first. Like, one of the best parts about that awful Green Lantern movie was Sinestro and him teaching a young Hal Jordan how to be Green Lantern, and eventually his weird turn at the end. We won't talk about that. But as Sinestro, as a Green Lantern, I thought he was awesome. I would love to see Mark Strong come back. But Unfortunately, it's not going to happen, but I'm excited to see this series. I really
am. Yeah, no, me too. I just loved it because I always jab at you every once in a while. I'll just send you a Team Gardner little text message. Yeah, and when I saw this, I was like, yes, I'm getting the shirt finally.
I know. I was once I heard this, I was like, God damn, he's going to get the damn shirt.
So I have a question for you. This came out a few weeks ago, and I sort of was a fan of the series. I know there was a little some bad bloods about them, but they are actually, you remember the Universal Monster movies they were going to start doing? We had The Mummy, which I know you weren't a fan of The Mummy, and they were talking about starting the other ones as well. They're actually in the production of doing a Renfield movie coming from Chris McKay for Universal, and it looks like they're still wanting to play in that world. Now, the reason I bring this up, because the writer, the original story outline was actually done by somebody you're a fan of, Robert Kirkman.
Ooh.
And so, I mean, if nobody knows who Renfield is in the story of Dracula, Dracula has a servant who's basically, I think, you know, depending on the storyline and which story you go with, but he's been promised, you know, immortal life as long as he, you know, helps out, you know, Vlad. But yeah, that's kind of their thought. What do you? I mean, I know you're very anti the Marvel, or the Universal monsters. But what do you think about that? Or the Dark Universe is what they called it.
If Kirkman's gonna write it,
well, it's an outline that he did. It says it's based on original story outline. So
I'll tell you, because he recently did he actually wrote the final episode of the season finale of Invincible. If he can do that and translate that into a movie somehow, I'm on board. I'm not gonna spoil the last episode of Invincible, but all I'm gonna say is it's very powerful, very powerful. I read the book. To me, it eclipsed the book. It eclipsed the book. It took things and it plussed them up, as my old friend John Shep would say. They plussed everything from the comic book, and I love that. Like, where you get at the end of the season, that final episode, and where it could go further. And if he's going to do that kind of treatment to like a Universal Monster series, especially Renfield, who's not really a well-known character. We know who he is.
Yeah.
He's like, yes, Master, what can I do for you, Dracula? That's who he is. That'd be interesting. I mean, I want to see how that happens. Like, does Dracula meet him at a bar and say, hey, man, you know, I'm going to promise you some immortal life? Yeah, what can you do? Just, you know, you got to do a couple things for me. That I don't know what kind of vibe they would go. That's the vibe I would go with if I'm writing a movie. Like, hey, man, you know, we were in the Winchester. Oh, it's Dracula there. Hey, what's going on? You know, I can promise you immortal life. Yeah, give me another fireball shot.
Now, they are continuing, by the way. This article, it does continue to talk that they are still working on the Dark Universe.
Who's in charge of that?
It doesn't say. It just says Universal. Says Universal is currently still has several high profile projects in the works, including Wolfman, starring Ryan Goslinger, or Gosling, not Linger. A Van Helsing movie with James Wan producing, and that's the last that they have that they were talking about. So it's still.
I would just give it to Blumhouse, man. If you guys haven't watched The Invisible Man from Blumhouse, that's the way to go. That's just the way to go. Just keep it grounded. I think Blumhouse is going to do a version of Dracula they were talking about. I think we reported that about a year ago. Probably check the archives out. But just give it to Blumhouse, honestly. I mean, I'll see the Renfield movie if it does come out, because if Kirkman's going to write it, I'll be fine with it. But just give everything to Blumhouse. They know how to do horror, man. As far as right now, and you know, besides like any like Chinese directors or the Asian directors, because they're the masters of horror right now. I hate to say it, not the Americans, but Blumhouse is pretty close.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
Blumhouse, they treat it with respect. That's the thing. Like horror movies are like, oh, I'm opening the door and guts, like blood and gore. No, it takes more than that. I think the last couple horror movies I've seen, Don't Breathe was a good one. That's a good horror movie. Get Out, another good one. I like psychological horror movies. You get into that, I'm fine. But Blumhouse proved, like with Invisible Man, which is actually, he's kind of corny. If you think about it, dresses, he gets all naked and walks around. They took a different step. If you haven't seen it yet, I'm not going to spoil it for you. It's such a different step to it that when I found out about it, I was like, that's an interesting take. And I dig it. And he's kind of the weaker of all the Universal Monster characters, if you think about it.
Yeah, he really was.
Because the other ones, their stories are kind of like self-made already. We know about Wolfman. We know about Frankenstein. We know about Dracula. We know about the Mummy. Their stories have been told for pantheons. The Invisible Man was the weak one. They chose him first, and it was pretty good. Made some dough. So if I'm them, just give it to Blumhouse. They seem to know how to handle stuff like that.
Yeah, if Universal wants to do anything, they should do, like, you know, the Mummy meets the Rock and Kevin Hart. I think that one will sell some tickets.
Goddamn Rock!
So what do you got next?
What do I have next? Okay, I got it up here. I got it pulled up. Unfortunately, Noah Centineo, not my older brother, Noah Centineo leaves Sony's Masters of the Universe film. Oh, I guess we're not going to see him. Sony's long-awaited Masters of the Universe reboot is in need of a new He-Man. According to Collider, Noah Centineo is no longer headlining the film as Eternia's savior. Well, that's I kind of thought that was going to happen. He's going to play the Atom Smasher in the Black Adam movie, so doesn't leave him much time, and he's an in-demand actor as well. He's been doing some other projects, and this project has been – he was announced, what, like almost 2 years?
Has it been that long since that was announced? Because I remember when Kevin Smith's one was announced, but
2019.
Ooh, so – okay. Yeah, so. Again, you got to think – we got to watch 2020, all right? You just got to say anything that was – so probably he's been – we'll count it as 6 months he's really been involved in it because, you know, nothing happened last year, so –
nothing happened for anybody last.
So yeah, I mean, that's okay. I'm more curious to see the Kevin Smith Netflix show and see what route they take with that before I'd really be interested to see them taking on a live action, because again, live action, I'd love to see it, but it's one of those ones that kind of falls under that Thundercats kind of thing. It could be good or it could be horrible.
Really bad. Yeah. Really bad. And I think I've said this many times. Besides the OG series, which we both love and dear, there was a 2002 series that came on Cartoon Network of He-Man Masters of the Universe. I think if they did it like that, I think I heard it very well from some other podcaster, Masters of the Universe should be Lord of the Rings and Star Wars merged.
That's what Masters of the Universe should be.
And when I heard that, I was like, yeah. That's what it should be. I mean, that'd be freaking epic. And if you watch the Master of the Universe film, I think it came out in 85, it did with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, yeah.
It was basically almost like a New Gods film.
It was,
like,
yeah.
The director of the film, who I forgot who he was, he said he took all his inspirations from Jack Kirby.
Yeah, and you can see it.
If you look at it, basically was. And I think if you're going to go forward right now, especially with the one coming out from Kevin Smith, I would just let that come out first, see what happens and the reaction is, then move forward to movie project. This is one of those things that, like you just said very well, they could fuck it up really, really bad.
Oh yeah, it could be.
And excuse my language, guys. I know there's some kids on here, but they could really screw it up really bad. And just like Thundercats, we talked about Thundercats. That is one that could be really good, or it could be cats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I'm too afraid to go live because I know it's going to be cats.
It is going to be cats.
Yeah, I just,
and so your truth is going to be on that one. I just wait. This is one of those properties. If you're patient with it, you could have a trilogy and beyond. You could literally have, if you do it right, it's a trilogy which ends, then you can lead off into something else. Like you could have spinoff series, man, of so many things because that world is so big. They haven't even tapped it, man.
Yeah.
Not even yet. They're like on the crisp. It's kind of like we talk about DC Comics, like talking about their multiverse. They haven't even touched it yet. But when they get there, they're going to get there. But this is one of those series. I'm glad for him. You know, he's going to get more jobs, obviously. He's working with Dwayne Johnson now. So Dwayne Johnson's going to find him a job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He'll be busy. I mean, everybody that's tied in with the Black Adam right now is going to be busy for a while because it looks like, you know, he's – I know Dwayne really wants to do some crossover with like Shazam and stuff. So, hey, question for you. I didn't get a chance to catch it. You did. And I know you're a fan. And I know we've got a couple of fans just like you. Lucifer, part two for season 5. Is that right?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Let me know, man. What you think?
The trailer looks awesome. It looks like we're going to get more action. I love the all-state guy playing God. which is hysterical. I love the fact that God comes to his workplace. He's like, hey, what are you doing, man? This guy has a desk. How come you don't have a desk? You should strive one day to get a desk.
Now, like, are you talking to Allstate guy, the black actor? Or are you talking about the black actor.
He played Serrano in Major League.
I thought you were talking about the other insurance one where the guy like wrecks everything. No, I think that would have been funnier as God.
Ooh, can you imagine? Guess what, guys? The whole world is ending. Do you need all insurance? No, I like his portrayal as Lucifer. I like the fact that God is going to retire and he's trying to give the baton away. And then the whole thing's like, oh, I'm going to be the new God. And like Michael wants to be the new God. And I like it. It looks like it's going to be fun. There's a musical episode in there somewhere. And it just looks fun. So I can't wait. It's at the end of May. So I'll be binge watching that on a Friday night and probably getting hammered. So.
Perfect. Yes, and that is on Netflix. And we've got something else coming out this week. Because guess what, guys? In 2 days, it's May the 4th. And Disney Plus is dropping the new animated series, Bad Batch. If nobody got a chance to watch the last season of Clone Wars, the first three episodes, I believe, was based off of the Bad Batch.
Yeah, that was it. It was almost like a pilot. They did like a little pilot episode.
Well, those were originally done back when they were originally prepping for season 6 or season 7. Okay. If you go online on YouTube, you can find the animatics of that show that they released back 5 years ago. And when you watch it, you can actually watch the show itself and kind of compare it of how they did it, and it's really cool. But yeah, finally they're taking the jump. Dave Filoni's getting another chance to bring these awesome. I mean, they are your typical stereotypical kind of like action guys, but they're so original at the same time. It's the strangest things to see how he took these staples of, you know, of a tech guy, of a sharpshooter, of a rough guy, and of the brains. Basically, he took the A team in a way. And put them into Clone Wars. And
I was going to say G.I. Joe.
Well, G.I. Joe could go. I watched A-Team, the movie, a couple of days ago, so I have that fresh.
Underrated flick, by the way, very underrated flick.
Yeah, it was. It's so much fun.
It's fun, man. Fun movie.
He just took it and he like breathed life into these characters, and they're amazing. And again, I always butcher his name, the actor that does the voices for now Boba and in the clones.
I don't have that in front
of
me.
Yeah, I always mess his name up. But he somehow is able to do the same voice, but different. He's a great voiceover actor, and you just can each one is done by him, but there's something different about each one, and I'm looking forward to it. And again, that's Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, May 4th, so make sure you guys are...
The Bad Batch was one of those things I think you told me about, and I was like, I don't know, it sounds kind of stupid. I'll watch it. Then I watched the episode. I was like, okay, I love these guys. They're freaking weird. They're just out there. They're clones who basically didn't get the proper treatment. So they're like these rogues. So they created their own little mercenary group. And I didn't want this series, but I'm going to watch it now.
And you get Tarkin in it as well. A little bit more Tarkins. Anytime you get more Tarkins, right there with me.
Any more Tarkin, any more backstory to Tarkin, I'm good with. So, yep. Hey, you know, and their animated series stuff has been great. So, and Filoni's behind it, who is basically the godfather of Star Wars right now, him and Favreau. So,
he was gifted the Bible from Lucas a long time ago. So,
basically, here you go. Yeah, just write this like that. Okay, Dave, bye.
That's basically how it was. I'm like, that was my horrible fucking
nuts. That was your worst George Lucas I think I've ever
that
heard.
That was my worst.
Usually you're good on those.
Yeah, I need a fireball shot.
Okay. Is that what it does? Is it, it's a fireball that brings out the Lucas in you? The
fireball brings out Lucas. Nice. I gotta wear flannel too. So,
Mr. Michael B. Jordan, he's got a new movie out, No Remorse or Remorse.
Oh, Without Remorse. I before we did this podcast, I was watching the first 20 minutes of it. It looks really good.
One of our friends, Cindy, she's like, she loves anything Jack Ryan and Tom Clancy. And she's like, no, she's like, it's really cool. Good show. Yeah. But he actually made while he was out talking about, you know, the show or the movie. It's on Prime, by the way, guys, if anybody's interested. But he was talking about all that rumors that have been kicking around about, you know, him playing Superman, and it's been everywhere for a year. He's actually come out and said he's very flattered by it, but he doesn't doesn't want to do it. It's a franchise that's kind of left by itself. It needs to stay as it is. We understand there are, you know, but there is a Black Superman out there, a really good storyline, but he doesn't want to do it. He has been spending his time, and again, something Dane and I just talked about 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, Static Shock, that he's in the middle of producing the show. So you were, you know, a new movie for it. So like you were saying before, this is the time, and I think he sees that this is the time to make sure that this gets out to the public.
I can't speak for African American people because I'm not, our friend Hotshot can obviously speak better than I can. But I think, like I said, yes, it is the perfect time to do it. But the Milestone universe has characters like Icon, who's basically Superman. I don't understand why this character has been picked up and done, literally lands in the middle of the Civil War era, like this era of slaves, and has this power and has to live amongst them. There's a story right there that Michael B. Jordan can grab onto. That's an Oscar-winning performance if you do it right. So for him saying that, what we have said all along, with no disrespect, could he play Superman? Yes, he could. But why?
Yeah.
Why?
Especially if he wants to spend his time to bring in and bring up a very positive, African-American superhero. Who,
like Static, yeah.
Static. And if they bring in Static, they could introduce that whole Dakota universe. And that Dakota universe is nothing but minority characters. Female, male, Hispanic, Asian. They're all represented there, and that's what we want. Yes, we're finally getting Asian representation with Shang-Chi, which should be out later this year, I believe.
Great trailer.
Yeah, I mean, and it's so. I mean, we're finally getting that thing, and here's a property and again, this is. I hate when I have to say this, it's WB. It's freaking Warner Brothers sitting on goldmine, like you've always said. And you always just talked about the DC universe. I'm just talking about this. That they have a way of giving massive representation out there just by introducing this out to the world, whether it's TV or movie.
But it's like I've always said and I've said it with the DC properties, what they've done, but you've said it better. It's Warner Brothers. And I think the people who are in charge of Warner Brothers are, I hate to say this, they're legitimately behind the times. They need to get with the times. And Milestone, they own Milestone. They literally own all their properties. Like, for years, Marvel didn't own anything. They had to scratch and claw to get all their shit back.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers owns all these things. Who's in charge of that? They can't say, hey, you know what? We got this going on. Let's get a Milestone universe going on, too. It's a perfect time. Make it all streaming. Go to HBO Max. We got that. We got the money there. They released a Snyder Cut, for God's sakes. You tell me they can't put that same money they put into the Snyder Cut into a Milestone universe interweaving in there? I'd be fascinated to see Static and Milestone and Icon and all those other characters get together. That's fun. And I'm a white dude, and I want to see it. What is that saying? It just boggles my mind. But.
Yeah, but at least we know he's out there. It's Michael B. Jordan. He's getting a lot of push, a lot of support from different producers and actors. So he's got a good foundation started. And I'm sure you're probably going to see other people coming around supporting him.
I hope so.
After the crash and burn of the Justice League. We just that's the only thing I'm going to call it now, the Justice League, and we see the rebirth with it. With the Snyderverse. I think we can see a little bit more coming from other areas of DC.
It's funny. I read an article to jump on that point. I know we've talked about this ad nauseum, but I'm gonna put the nail in the coffin with this. I think Grace Randolph, she reported that basically the Snyderverse is dead at WB because people up in the hierarchy, I'm talking like the hierarchy of WB, are pissed off of how well the reception has been. It hasn't been as great as I would like it to be, but it has been well received by some people. I think a couple weeks ago I said it was the most watched. It wasn't. I made a mistake there. But apparently, that's a sore subject in WB.
They were proven wrong, and nobody likes to be proven wrong.
And they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to include in their own continuity.
Yeah,
they just want to be rid of it. And I think basically they're not going to continue forward with the Snyder Cut. But Grace Randolph basically said, and I agree, if you love Zack Snyder, support his new movies that come out. Mm-hmm. To support him. And I will, because I've seen the new trailer for his Army of the Dead movie. That looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Because he did a great remake of the Dawn of the Dead.
which, by the way, that is going to be in the works on our Midnight Movies. I did find that for you. You were requesting it. Yeah. And so, yeah. So hopefully maybe Halloween time, we might be jumping on that one.
Be a very busy month for us kids. We'll do some live streams. Who knows? But yeah, just continue to support Zach. That's it. Support him. And, you know, you support his movies enough. Guess what? Maybe the WB is like, maybe this guy did have the right idea. I mean it's not going to happen. That's an outlandish tale. But I'm just saying, if you want this release of Snyder Universe, stranger things have happened. I didn't think they would have ever released a Snyder cut.
Neither.
I held a little bit in my heart. I would say, yeah, they're going to do it. And I knew the optimist was like, I don't think they're going to do it. When they actually released it and I saw it, I was like, I can't believe I'm seeing this. Mm-hmm. I was like, so stranger things have happened. So you never know.
Yeah, the guards change. The guards change, and maybe something will happen.
Everything changes, man, because the power of social media and fandom out there is powerful, because without them, we'd have never got the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
Never. So never say never. Never say never.
Very true. So what else you got there?
Guess what? The final season of Castlevania, unfortunately, has dropped its final trailer for season 4. The nation of Wakalia is about to face its greatest test to the final season of Castlevania, which releases first world trailer season 4, which brings Trevor Beaumont, Sophia Belandis, back to where it all began. Dracula swore revenge on humanity for killing his wife, and regardless of his own demise, Dracula may soon be able to fulfill that promise. But is it Dracula or somebody else? The trailer kind of shows somebody else in the trailer. There's theories, and I play the Castlevania game, so I would know.
Is it Blackula?
No, it's not Blackula. God, no. Can you imagine that? It's me! Samuel L. Jackson has to be Blackula. No, it's Death. He basically was the right-hand man of Dracula, if you didn't know that in the games you played it. But
I think I played up to number 2, so I really didn't.
I played Symphony of the Night. That was the last one I played, which was really good. I always loved the music of Castlevania. It's so weird and stuff like that. My favorite one was actually, I bought the one for the, I think it was the NES, not the Super NES, the one before it. And it was the one where Dracula was dead.
Because you're old.
Shut up. So, I bought the one, before I was rudely interrupted, where basically you had to rebuild Dracula. Basically, you had to go through all these trials. You had to find his eyeball, his ribcage, and you had to rebuild him just to kill him again, which is a weird premise. But back then, for me, it was a cool as a kid. But the trailer for season 4 looks dope. Sucks it's ending, but it's one of those things that I'm kind of glad. Like, I've now gotten accustomed to have series having endings. I guess I was spoiled with Supernatural being over 16 seasons, whatever it was. This series basically has a beginning, has an ending. So it's ending after season 4. The story's done. Kind of like Legion. Legion was done after 3 seasons because, hey, I told my story. It's done.
That's how it should be. Yeah.
You don't want to overstay your welcome. So I'm fine. But it looks good. I can't wait. Do I have the release date on here, guys? I think I do.
I got a question for you here.
May 13th.
So I got Mr. Canada. He said I thought Dracula's sons in Castlevania ended him.
Yes, he's dead. But if you've played any of the games, Mr. Ray Canada, you know that Dracula is never truly dead. So I'll just leave it at that.
Nice.
There you go.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that's the one thing. I'm not a constant subscriber to Netflix. I usually will. Like, I'll subscribe for like a month, every 6 months. But maybe that's what I love about going there is because some of their anime stuff is amazing. That's one of the things I always look forward to is like that. Yeah, I know I can get subscriptions from my friends, but I don't want it. I like that moment where I'm like, okay, I can now like do a binge watch of these great animated shows. I think Voltron, when they redid Voltron, I'm sure there's some Voltron fans out there that I wasn't hip on it at first, but once I got into it, I love that show.
I haven't finished the first season yet.
Oh, you haven't, dude. You got to get through it, man. It's really good.
You know why I stopped it? Because other stuff came on and I just started watching it, but I stopped midway point, but the way they were going, I don't know where it ends, but the way they were headed, I was like, this is interesting.
Yeah. No, that's one of those ones I actually own the whole series because it is how well they did. Yeah. There are a few things in it that I know, like, you know, diehard Voltron fans are like, no, but what they did and where they went, I thought was great. So yeah, but yeah, no, I'm looking forward to the Castlevania. They even do the, what was it, the Dragon Prince? Yeah. Our friend Cindy got me a little hooked into that one. It was kind of fun to watch that one. So I mean, there's a, like I said, yeah, in a couple of months, I think that's when I'm gonna go and reopen up my Netflix account and go, oh, there, look at all the goodies.
Look at all this. I could start here.
Like I literally will spend a month binge watching just Netflix, and then I'll let the other ones go to the wayside, and then
you'll cancel it and then you'll come back
again. Yep. That's how I roll.
You're like the old girlfriend that keeps coming back.
Pretty much, yeah. Yep. So you were talking about a zombie movie. We have news that George A. Ramirez's final film is starting to catch some traction. It's been almost 4 years after his passing from lung cancer. But Ramirez's wife, Susan Romero, is working hard and trying to get that the late director's undead swan song, Twilight of the Dead, to life. This is coming from a Hollywood Reporter. So, I mean, his legacy alone is out there. And, they're really talking about getting this finally pushed out and getting done.
And there's a friend of mine I have on Facebook, and I'm a name drop. And his name is Rick Jacobson. He's from Chicago. He is the biggest George Romero fan you will ever see in your life. The guy is part of like all these zombie posts, Facebook fan pages. He's always posting stuff.
He probably would have been out at Spooky Empire this weekend then, huh?
He probably would have been if he didn't live in Chicago. Hey, what's going on, Rick? Nice to see you again, brother. But he is a huge Romero fan. And just to see, like, I've jumped into those pages and I've seen what people have written. There's like a million members in that group alone. So this movie's going to get released.
Oh, yeah.
I have no doubt. I'm just waiting for, like, when, what distributor. Like, somebody's going to pick this up. Netflix might pick it up, Amazon might pick it up, who knows, like Freeform might pick it up, Apple might pick it up. Somebody's going to pick it up. It's just a matter of when, and they might drop it in Halloween. There you go. I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, especially his last movie. Come on.
He left several scripts, but this is the one that I guess was getting worked on the most and had the most done. So, yeah, hopefully we'll get a chance to see the swan song from, I mean, the master.
Yeah, the master of this, the true visionary. He literally began it all. Mm-hmm. So it's we have no zombie movies, we have no zombie comics without this guy.
Yeah, without George, we don't get George, anything.
He doesn't make the George made the zombies cool. He made them have something. They had substance. If you go on one of my favorite ones was I think City of the Dead, which people hate and I like. It's the one with the John Leguizamo and. I forgot who else is in it, but I kind of dug.
I think I have seen that one. Yeah, that does sound familiar.
That was the one with the mechanic who like led the zombies to like the land of the living, and it was cool. I liked it. It was different take. It was like, oh, because they actually gave the zombies a purpose. Like, hey, you killed one of my people. I'm going to go after you. And like the guy gave some emotions as a zombie. He was like he's a black mechanic. I forgot the name of the actor, but my God, it was just like the way he did things in that movie. Like I cared about this guy. Like, yeah. Fuck, I care about the zombie. Yeah. Kill those damn humans, man. Eat them alive. And if you can get me to care, kind of go back to Lobos and Chair Shots, get me to care and I'm going to watch it, man. So yep. Hopefully this gets distributed. Hopefully by October it gives us another movie to play in our little playlist there. But I can't wait. Anything by the master. We hail the master.
Oh, we got another question from Ray.
Oh.
Do you either of you know if there is going to be doing another season of The Witcher? Yes,
season 2 drops end of 2021.
Yeah, in fact, I think they've already wrapped up the recording. So yeah, it's going to go into post production right now. But yeah, we are definitely getting another one. I think they said top three right now. It's like three seasons, I think, they're signed up for. But yeah, so you're definitely going to get another one. Can't wait to see it. I mean, anything with Henry Cavill is awesome.
Yeah, best of man ever played next to Christopher Reeve. So, yep. I mean, according to somebody else. But
speaking of Superman, looks like there is going to be a Smallville animated revival. It's being planned right now. But it hasn't been cemented yet, but it's got some big names behind it. We got Michael Rosenbaum, who played, of course, Lex Luthor in Smallville, and Mr. Tom Welling, who played Clark. Not Superman, because it wasn't. No flights, no tights.
He wasn't technically Superman, kids. Yeah.
So
he was a blue blur.
Now they are talking about picking it up 10 years later, 10 years removed from the finale. It seems like the show will continue like as a reboot or a sequel series. So it'll be like 10 years later. I mean, if anybody remembers the series, it ended with basically Lex not knowing anything about their past anymore. So it's kind of just he started over as the bad guy finally. But I'd be interested to see if they would go and pick up some of the comic book series because
I was just thinking the same thing because season 11 or I think it was season 11 in the comic book series begins with Batman.
Yeah.
Their version of Batman, which was an interesting take, and I read that issue, and it was kind of cool because basically, if you guys, it's the comic book is old, so I'm going to spoil the hell out of it.
No, yeah.
Basically, Clark finds him, he's beating him up, and basically says, "Hey, you know what? You got me beat, but you know, like his true mission was something else, and he got that accomplished, and basically, like the fight was a diversion." I think that's what the one that you read also. So it's if they go there, it'd be kind of cool. I would like that. Be interesting to see their version of like the Flash, Wonder Woman, and all that. They could probably use those characters in animated form.
And they've got the perfect platform for it right now, HBO Max.
Yeah, they could do it. Unfortunately, you know, no Chloe, but you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the animated pictures they have, they do have Chloe, so maybe it just won't be voiced by her. Unfortunately,
she's I'm a little bit of them, but
yeah, she's a little busy right now.
A little busy right now. Part of 10, maybe.
So what else you got?
I got one more thing here in my little thingy. I didn't mean to say that. Sorry, guys. It's actually, it's actually the thing that I began with. It's a review in 8 of Invincible, the last episode. I'm not going to give too much away. I think I gave a little bit away in the beginning. I'll just say this. I read the comic, and I have read all the comics of Invincible. The season finale had such heart depth that I didn't think they could translate into an animated series. I don't think they could do it like a live-action version, because the way they did it, they paced, like, if you guys don't know, I'll give one thing away, because it's been on YouTube. All right, and basically the Omni-Man kills his form of the Justice League at the beginning. That's the whole premise throughout the entire 8 episodes, is like his wife trying to find out did he do it, and she's piecing things together. Meanwhile, his kid is going through adolescence in high school, dealing with girls and books and all that stuff, while still being the son of Omni-Man. Well, this other story is going on with Omni-Man, like, oh, is he really a killer? Is he really this guy? Season 8, you find out everything. Actually, just towards the end of 7, you find out. But in 8, it comes to fruition of who he is, why he's there, his mission statement. We've always talked about different versions of Superman. Like, I've always said, like, the best version is always the Injustice, the evil Superman, the dictator one. And we talked about Homelander. He's another version of Superman. He's virtually like a sociopath. Omni-Man is a sociopath, but he is not, like, he's not conflicted. He's like, no, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way I had asked to be. You're either going to join me or not join me. And then stuff happens that I'm not going to spoil if you haven't watched it yet. Watch it not just for the action itself, but the story of father and son.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing I'll say is father. And if you guys have kids, if you got a son, if you're lucky to have one, it hits and it'll hit you. I don't even have a son and it hit me. Because, like, just that whole – something happens throughout the entire episode. It actually begins with a bang, and then it lessens down. But when you get there, it's just like, damn. And that's what I said. But, guys, check it out. If you haven't watched Invincible, it's on Amazon, I believe. Whatever streaming services you have, or, like, illegal or not, just check it out and watch it. It's worth the watch. I would compare it very closely to the ending of Falcon and Winter Soldier. It's a different type of thing. Like Falcon and Winter Soldier is more like, you know, what's going on in culture now. That's more.
If you're a fan of the boys, Invincible is going to be right up your alley.
Yes.
That's the best way I could describe it.
It's really good. It's really good. I'm not even trying to like lie to you guys. Check it out. Check out the whole series. The whole series is just each episode trumps the next episode. It just gets remarkably better. So check it out.
Guys, and just something I meant to mention at the beginning. I know I talked to Kane offline about this, but today, guys, May 2nd is the beginning. 13 years ago today, what's the beginning of the MCU? Iron Man number one is released. So I mean, just 13 years, and you think about everything that they've done, the stories we've seen, the shows we're still talking about, that they're still going, you know, alive and kicking. We even got a chance to see, if you guys check out our Facebook page, I posted up a picture of Kamala Khan. You know, they've got, you know, costumes ready for Miss Marvel.
Her suit looks great, man. Doesn't her suit look awesome?
Oh, it looked perfect. The shoes. Did you see the shoes?
The sneakers. Yeah. When I looked at it. Those sneakers are awesome. Like, the whole thing is kind of an easy get, but the shoes are awesome.
Yeah.
That's going to be a cool series to watch. I'm not a big, you know, I told you before all this, I was like, I was not looking forward to Captain Marvel 2. But after watching these other side characters like Monica Rambeau and now Kamala Khan, Captain Marvel 2 is up there now. It's like one of my anticipated. I think it comes out 2023 or whatever. But I want to check it out now. It just looks like they're leading all this. Like, it's like WandaVision is leading to like Doctor Strange and sort of like Captain Marvel 2.
And Secret Wars as well.
Secret Invasion. That's coming out too. I mean, it's so strange that I've only seen Captain Marvel once.
Keep telling you, give it a shot.
Once.
I was a little angry and bitter, and I still talk to folks about it. I was talking to a Hotshot actually last night. We were talking about about that picture that came out, and I had to kind of educate him about the real story behind Captain Marvel. You know, who was Captain Marvel first? Who is this? Who is that? And he's like, oh, I didn't realize. Like, well, most people don't, because their introduction to Captain Marvel was in the in the theaters, you know, and they didn't realize, you know, how really new Carol Danvers was. And then I really threw him for a loop when I explained the connection between Captain Marvel and the X-Men. That threw him for a little loop too. So
I hope they do that down the road.
Well, hopefully that'd be the best way of introducing somebody else to get a certain power. So I think that would be a cool way of doing that.
Just saying. So, maybe they're thinking about that. It's Feige. He's probably thought about
it. Yeah, I'm sure. I am sure. All right, guys. Well, that is everything I have. Guys, don't forget Low Blows and Chair Shots, Kane and Hot Shots Wrestling Podcast, which I love checking that out. And also, this week, we don't have a new one coming out this week, unfortunately. We'll have to skip it. But this past weekend or week, we had the release of Midnight Movies Last Action Hero. So make sure you guys check that out as well.
That was a fun one to do.
I wanted to do that with you as well, but that's okay. Rona got me locked down.
I know, but we'll do a remix one of these days. It was a fun one to do with Hotshot, even though he fell asleep a couple times. But that's all right.
You asleep? No.
You're right. No, I was still there. That's okay. But this month we're doing the 70s, so some good stuff is coming out. Good stuff. Yep. So I had to hold it off. Had to wait till Mike was well. So we got some reviews and some good 70s movies. The 70s, man. We're going disco, baby.
Disco. All right, guys. Well, make sure you do check us out on Facebook. And make sure you guys do check out the archives. I mean, we're getting a big archive going on the Heroes Asylum network. So we got Low Blows Chair Shots, Midnight Movies, and of course Heroes Asylum. And where else, Kane?
Check out Low Blows and Chair Shots with me and Hotshot as one of your hosts. Check out our Twitter and Instagram pages at Heroes Asylum_podcast, Instagram at the Heroes Asylum. And as always, from the returning man to me, to you, get to the asylum.